It's not always easy to be happy for other people, is it? Here's Skip Heitzig.
You know, some people are angry when other people are blessed. I know Christians who get angry when other people are blessed because they are blessed. And what about me? How come I'm not blessed? What? God, am I chopped liver? What? You have a beat up old car. Gets horrible gas mileage. Somebody comes and says, you wouldn't believe it. Rejoice with me, brother. Somebody gave me a new car. You go, oh. Hallelujah. It's hard for you to rejoice with those that rejoice.
Make the connection.
Fact or fiction, legend or history, the story of Jonah often causes a firestorm of debate over whether or not this story actually took place. The interesting thing is that much of the debate focuses on whether or not a man could actually survive in the belly of a whale or a great fish for 3 days and nights. But that really isn't the most unbelievable aspect of this story. Skip Heitzig tells us more today here on The Connection. But before we get started, you can share the amazing true story of God's love with people simply by supporting this ministry. And here's how.
What does your support of The Connection do? Well, it keeps us on the air so you can hear solid Bible teaching day after day, year after year. But it also does much more. It goes beyond your doorstep and helps us take The Connection to places like Belize, Micronesia, New Zealand, and more. Your $25 a month as a global connector helps us connect people all over the globe with the truth of God's Word. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter of The Connection and help this ministry continue, both for you and for thousands of people all over the world. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, this month, when you help support The Connection, we'll send you a teaching from Dmitry Krupennikov of Russia. We'd like to help Dmitry and his ministry by getting The Connection on the air in Russia. And your support of the Global Connectors can help us do that. Sign up today for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, if you want to find out more about Global Connectors or just get in touch with us sometime, drop us a note to info@connectionradio.org, and we'd love to hear from you anytime. You know, some of the most amazing moments in Jonah's story take place after his time in the belly of the whale. And we'll take a closer look at those and what we can learn from them here in just a moment.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
If you'll flip towards the back of the Old Testament and find the book of Jonah, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he continues our study of that section of Scripture.
And this is really the biggest miracle in the book is not the whale, it's chapter 3. Biggest revival in history, bigger than the Great Awakening, than any of the great revivals in history, is this one. You know, Billy Graham and his organization, when they go into a place, if they have a 5% return of people, that is, of the whole crowd that night in the stadium, if 5% of that crowd comes forward to receive Christ, that's sort of the standard. That's a good night. If it gets up to 10%, it's like, wow, hallelujah. Jonah saw 100% people coming to hear and receive and respond to his message. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, boy, these are gracious words. You know, God might just say, hey, I told you once, you're not going to listen to me. There's a lot better, younger preachers, prophets than you, Jonah. I'll choose one of them. But the word of the Lord came a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So it's one thing to be forgiven by God. It's quite another thing for God to say, I'm going to give you a second chance. Isn't that beautiful? Peter knew what that was like. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus came to restore him. Peter, do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Then feed my sheep. Listen, Peter was going, really? Me? Peter, do you love me?
Yes, I love you.
Tend my lambs. A second chance, a commission. God wanted him to do it. Jonah was commissioned. Verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Sounds good. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey in extent. C.F. Kyle, the great Old Testament archaeologist, tells us that the city of Nineveh, get this, wasn't a single city, but a complex of 4 cities clustered together around the Tigris River. It was huge. I want you to picture it. Here's Jonah walking up to a city. The walls are 100 feet tall. 100 feet tall. The top of this building here is about 35 feet tall. So imagine walls 100 feet tall, 3 times the peak of this roof. It's imposing. 15 gates that opened on the wall of Nineveh around it, each named after one of the gods they worshipped. It'd be very intimidating. There were towers 200 feet, so 100 feet beyond the wall. It was incredible. The diameter of the city. The diameter of the city of Nineveh was 19 miles in diameter. The circumference of the city, 60 miles. Remember, it's 4 cities clustered together. Greater Nineveh, 60 miles of circumference. Now, the ancient reckoning for travel by foot was 20 miles a day. You could cover, typically, if you were walking from one place to another, 20 miles a day. So 3 days' journey, historically, fits the picture. 3 days' journey to walk around that city and extend. It was an exceedingly great city. Now, based on chapter 4, verse 11, which tells us there's 120,000 little kids in that town, we can estimate the population to be upwards of 600,000 people. They do not love God. They hate Jewish people. They were known for brutality, okay? In fact, Ashurbanipal, one of the Assyrian kings, piled up skulls of those that he killed and captured. They would cut off lips and ears and pile them up in front of the gates just to keep people aware. And Jonah, one guy, walking up to that city, and he's going to say, turn or burn. See how it goes over. Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. You'd expect, boom, arrow. Boom, another arrow. He's dead. Story's over. He gives this message. 40 days and it will be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This is either Adnad-Nirari III or Shalmaneser, one of these two guys fit that historical narrative. And they covered himself with sackcloth and ashes. Stop for just a moment before we finish this up. Because somebody's going to read this, because it happens all the time. They read and go, oh, come on. You mean to tell me one little dude walks through the gate of a pagan city and gives a message, everybody suddenly turns to that God? That doesn't happen. That's impossible for an immediate, genuine conversion. Let me just plant something in your mind. These were very superstitious people. One of the great, not great because he was false, but one of the gods they worshiped was the fish god. Dagon was a god, a Philistine god that was incorporated into Assyrian worship. They believed he was the god of control of the seas. Nobody could outdo Dagon, the sea god. Very superstitious. But remember what Jesus said in the New Testament. He spoke of the sign of the prophet Jonah. You remember those words? He spoke of not a sign that he shone, the sign of the prophet Jonah. How could Jonah himself be a sign? Now let me explain something to you. This is a piece of history. 1891, there was a guy named James Bartley. He was a fisherman out in the Falkland Islands on a boat called the Star of the East. They were chasing sperm whales out of the Falkland Islands. One of the tails of those whales hit the boat. Two men went overboard, one drowned, and Bartley was unaccounted for and thought dead. One of the whales in that vicinity was caught and eventually brought on this huge whaling ship in 1891, and they skin it. They take the oil, started peeling the skin down and the fat from it. And as they opened it up, they found James Bartley inside in a coma, took him to the captain's quarters for 2 weeks before he completely revived out of it. But he was alive after a long period of time in that whale. He got up from it. His face was bleached white, neck bleached white, hands bleached white. He had the feel and look of white parchment, hair burned off from the gastric juices. So imagine Jonah looking like that. Okay? Whole different picture, right? Not this guy with his Bible and a beard. Well, he just is this white, you know, dead looking, papered looking, like a recycled Michael Jackson. I'm sorry, that's all that I can think of. Bleached white. Maybe like doing the moon dance. No, he's walking into the town. They get a load of this guy, and maybe they heard from those fishermen in advance, maybe it had reached Nineveh, what had happened, that Yahweh was superior to Dagon. And here is the sign of the prophet Jonah. By the way, the story that I told you about the 1891 fishing ship is cited by A.J. Wilson in the Princeton Theological Review, issue number 25, if you'd like to chase that down, because you're going, where is that at? So there it is. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Obviously, this man's very touched. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every one turn from his evil way and turn from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And God saw their works and turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, granted, this is a strange State of the Union message for a king to bring. Everybody, I want everybody, pets, stray dogs, horses, people in sackcloth and ashes. That's what it says, even the animals. And you, again, you read that and go, that's a little weird. Using horses in funeral processions goes all the way back to the time of the Persians and even this era. As some of you remember, I remember in my mind JFK's funeral. I was just a little kid and I watched that horseless or the riderless horse. He was draped. He was in mourning garb. And his horse was marched through in that funeral procession. And it's not atypical to have people involved in some of these, and animals involved with people in some of these great acts of mourning. A side note, a quick side note. Did you know that one of the first people groups to embrace Christianity in the first century were Assyrians? When the missionaries went out to Assyria and Babylonia, they were one of the first groups to embrace it, and they trace back, the Assyrian church to this day traces back the move of God in their culture from the time of Jonah preaching to them and God sparing their city. That God was merciful to us, and we want to always be in touch with that mercy. They were receptive to Christianity. Chapter 4 is very short, but this is the run-in with God, the run-in with God. Okay? This blows my mind. But, what do you mean but? The whole people group repented. You don't hear a negative conjunction after that. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. What a contrast between God's nature and Jonah's nature. God's merciful, God's slow to anger. Jonah's mafioso. He hates these people because of the bitter angst that had been toward the Jews from the Assyrians. And the Jewish people at that time hated the Assyrians, wanted God to judge them. Now, you know, we do laugh at Jonah. He fled from the presence of the Lord, hated the Assyrians. Can I just try to put it in a more modern term? Let's say the story of Jonah happened during World War II. And let's say Jonah lived in New York City, in the kosher section of New York City where a lot of Jewish people live. It says, and the word of the Lord came to this Jonah living in Manhattan, said, arise, go to Berlin and preach this message of doom to the Nazis. But if they repent, I'm going to overturn their sins. You would read something like this, but he went into a boat in Manhattan to go to Hawaii to flee from the presence of the Lord. See, when you put it in a different, more modern context, we understand his hesitancy. And now his anger. He's angry at God. But God's merciful. You think, God's so merciful, and he's God's representative. You think he'd say, oh, okay, I'll get past the personal stuff. Hallelujah. They responded. They repented. Not with some people. It's interesting. Did you know that where the healthiest place to live on earth is? South Pole. South Pole, no germs. Germs can't live there. It's too cold. So it's the healthiest place to live on the earth. Few germs, few those kinds of things, but very few people live there. You know why? Yeah, exactly. It's just too cold. There's some people just like that. They're so germ-free, truth-conscious, no mercy. Cold to be around, hard to be with, legalistic. They're right. They're dead right. So he prayed to the Lord. And he said, ah, Lord. That's how he said it, I believe. Not, ah, Lord. Because you'll read what he said. Ah, Lord. Was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you're gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. He's not happy about God's character here. Therefore now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Wow. The Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Now there's a series of questions as we close out the book to give perspective to this guy. Is it right for you to be angry? You know, Jonah, look, I'm pleased. I'm stoked. You're displeased. Jonah, which one has the right perspective here? You or me? Is it right for you to be angry? You know, some people are angry when other people are blessed. I know Christians who get angry when other people are blessed because they are blessed. And what about me? How come I'm not blessed? What? God, am I chopped liver? What? You have a beat up old car. Gets horrible gas mileage. Somebody comes and says, you wouldn't believe it. Rejoice with me, brother. Somebody gave me. A new car. You go, oh. Hallelujah. It's hard for you to rejoice with those that rejoice. Verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade that he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come over Jonah, merciful to Jonah, that it might be a shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah, get this, was very grateful for the plant. It's the first time we read that Jonah is pleased about anything. Chapter 1, when God told him, gave him his commission to go to Nineveh, was he pleased? No. Chapter 1, when a storm came out of the sea, was he pleased? No. When he went into the belly of the whale, was he pleased? No. When God gave him the second commission, he did it, but was he pleased? Uh-uh. When God spared the city in his mercy, was Jonah pleased? No. Now he gets a plant. I got a plant. I'm so happy. This fast-growing castor plant, we believe, with broad leaves, can grow very, very quickly, like my weeds in my backyard. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And so it damaged the plant and it withered. It happened when the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun beat on Jonah's head. Remember, he has no hair at this point. It's awfully white. And he grew faint. And then he wished for death for himself. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. If I were God, I would have said, you know what? You're right. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." I'd hate to counsel this guy. The Lord said, "You've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand and much livestock?" Jonah, you are more worried about a soulless plant than 600,000 souls who will face eternity. See, it's all about you, Jonah. It's all about you and your little comfort zone. And not all these people whom I love. I'm distressed when I see people so attached to pets. Now listen, so attached to animal rights, marching for animal rights, and just that quick would be pro-abortion. Oh, you can kill human life. After all, it's all about us and our choice. But don't you hurt those animals. I'll protest for the goldfish. Ladies and gentlemen, that's whacked. That's out of balance. Now, I'm going to personalize it as we close. You may not clap. Are you concerned about your own plant, about your own comfort zone? And maintaining your own comfort level? Is that more important than all of the souls that are around us that without Christ will perish? You know, if we could just start looking at people around us, millions of Americans, their conversions waiting to happen. And you have the truth.
So the real question is, what are you going to do with that truth? Will you share it with the people around you who need to hear it? Or will you take the safer, more politically correct route and just keep it to yourself? As you think that over, we're going to wrap up our time for today. But before we leave you, today is the last day we're mentioning how you can get Stephen Baldwin's book, The Unusual Suspect, for just $15. So here's how to get your copy.
When Stephen Baldwin was riding the wave of fame from his most successful movie, The Usual Suspects, he thought he was in his glory. Hot in Hollywood, whatever Stephen wanted, Stephen got. But he found a new, more meaningful role in life, that of a Christian, a role more radical than anything Hollywood can offer.
Mostly kids are, you know, out there taking risks and wanting to have fun and this and that. Well, there's no greater risk and no greater thrill and fun than tapping into the most awesome power that exists anywhere, which is God and His Spirit. If you can get a hold of that, there's no skate park, surfboard, kiteboard, snowboard, any board. You know, the ultimate is the Jesus board.
The Connection is offering a book by Stephen Baldwin, The Unusual Suspect, My Calling to the New Hardcore Movement of Faith.
When I became a Christian, I was somebody that was a skydiver and bungee jumper and doing all kinds of stuff that was giving me the maximum potential of the thrill of life. I never thought it would ever be possible that the Holy Spirit could actually be 10 times more gnarly than any of that. There's nothing God likes better than a good challenge.
In The Unusual Suspect, Stephen takes you behind the scenes and tells the stories that haven't been told of celebrity life, a curious family, and a hardcore faith.
I cry out to the Lord with this request. I want you to show me something in this life experience that surprises me. I want to see you do your thing in my existence that I never thought would be possible or never could have anticipated. For me, that's the base jump for Jesus each and every morning. I take the leap and trust in Him.
Get The Unusual Suspect by Stephen Baldwin from The Connection now. Order online at connectionradio.org or by calling 1-800-922-1888.
And that's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping, when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Of course, anything you share above the suggested donation will help us continue these daily broadcasts both in your area and in new areas all around the world. So anything extra you share will help the continued spread of the good news of God's love and forgiveness. Give us a call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit us online at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We're going to cover several more books next time as we get close to the end of the Old Testament. So join us for more of the Bible from 30,000 feet here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.